If you have a Bible with you, turn with me to Book of James, James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verses 14 to 26. Again, it's a fairly lengthy passage as you follow along. Today, I'll be reading a lot of passages, and and if you're taking notes, just write those the passages down, and you could go over it afterwards. So don't worry about that. And James chapter 2, 14 to 26. And today, part of today's message is true saving faith according to God's word. If you could all rise, God's people, for the reading of God's word. And after, again, you guys know the procedure. After I finish reading it, I'm going to say this is the word of the Lord. If you could all, with one voice, say thanks be to God, and then you could have your seat. James chapter 2, verses 14 to 26. This is the word of God to us this morning. James chapter 2, 14 to 26. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works, can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone would say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see, that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see, a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified? Word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. I know we already prayed a little bit for the message, but if you could bow your heads one more time for a few seconds and ask for God's help. Father in heaven, we are helpless before you. To understand your truth and spiritual truth, we need your help. Let your word, these aren't words of man. These are words that are true, infallible, inerrant. So, oh Lord, I pray that as we glance in the next 30 minutes or so, many passages in your word, oh Lord, I pray that you will give a full definition what faith, saving faith, looks like. A faith that truly saves. Although we need your help. Pray all this not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit in and through Christ. Amen. true saving faith, I could put it this way, true saving faith is walking in the light of God's spiritual world. Let me say that one more time. True saving faith is walking in the light of God's spiritual world. Now, Frank, if you could have the diagram up there. This should sound familiar to you. I've shared this many, many Sunday schools ago, but the refresh your memory. True faith is walking in the light of God's spiritual world or spiritual truths in God's Word. In other words, faith helps you to see. True saving faith is not blind faith. True saving faith is not just hoping, I wish it was true, but I'm not sure. True saving faith is something that you know as a surety. Something that you see when somebody says, oh, I see, doesn't mean just that they see with their physical eyes, that they now know, they know, they understand, oh, I see, I understand now. True saving faith is also not just spiritual sight and spiritual knowledge, it is a spiritual experience. And that's very important. Is that you now not only see a spiritual world, that's the first thing I recognized when I became a Christian when I was 19. Before I became a Christian, all I knew was, as a surety, was me and the physical existence around me. Because I experienced that, I know that's true. When faith came, when light came, even though I grew up in a Christian home, right? I was a pastor's kid. I didn't believe in God. God didn't exist. Jesus, who cares? It wasn't relevant to me. God, Jesus, yeah, I went to church. I went to retreats. But I didn't see. I didn't know. So today, I want to take four passages in the Bible to help us what true faith is. Number one, true faith comes from hearing the word. Romans 10:17. I'm just going to list it for you, and we're going to take one by one, and I'm not going to unpack the passage like Sunday school, you know, we have time. I'm going to briefly go through it as fast as we can in the next 30 or less minutes. True faith comes from hearing the word. Romans 10:17. True faith is proved by works, is what we just read in our James chapter 2, 14 to 26. True faith walks in the light, 1 John chapter 1, 5 through 7, and 4. True faith follows the leading of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. All right, let's take that one by one. True saving faith comes from hearing the word. Romans 10:17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. In other words, hearing through the truth. The Bible, Old and New Testament. And now you should know, the 3 years I've been here, what, if you could summarize in one sentence what this book is all about, is about Christ. From the beginning to the end, in the middle, is the revelation of Christ, revelation of the Son. It is the good news. Who is this Jesus? At the heart of the good news, the gospel, is the Son. And the Bible explains in various ways who this Jesus is. Not just one thing about Jesus, many things about Jesus that you need to know. So faith, true saving faith, comes from hearing the word, which is about Christ. And of course, you know, we countless times on the pulpit and on the Sunday, on Sunday school and RCCC Institute, I try to do my best in trying to teach from the Old Testament and the New Testament who this Jesus is. Who is He, the person, and what He has come to do to save us. Save us. True faith comes from hearing the word. Number two, which is today's text, true faith is proved by works. So before we talk about that, you see why we need to send missionaries to hear the word. And isn't why Paul said that in Romans, right? How are they going to hear? How are they going to believe Jesus if they don't, no one is sent? How are they going to believe that news? Well, people have to speak and talk to them about it. Not just in the U.S., but places, unreached people groups, unengaged people groups, are the places that never heard. There are places that have never heard the truth, the Bible and its message. And so we should be sending, supporting missionaries, which we do at this church, which is a good thing. And that's one of the ministries that we do here. So, all right, true faith come from hearing the word. Number two, true faith is proved by works. And we read two examples in James chapter 2 of Abraham and Rahab, how their faith is supported by John chapter 4:4-10. Everyone who makes a practice, is it up there? Yes. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that He appeared in order to take away sins, and in Him there is no sin. No one who abides in Him, that is Christ, keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has neither seen Him or know Him. You see that? Someone who keeps on practicing sinning do not have faith. But faith is able to see and to truly know spiritual truths. That's why you could say, I could care less about knowing and seeing Jesus. I didn't have faith for 18 years of my life. Verse 7, little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as He is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God, born again, someone who's Christian who has true faith, makes a practice of sinning. For God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. There is the works. Those who what? True faith is proved by works of righteousness. Now, we don't have time to talk about many aspects of what righteous works looks like. We're going to do a little bit of that in English Sunday School, kind of flesh that out, and maybe some modern examples now. Watch, you know, when you say modern examples, you know, a lot of the sins that was recorded in the Bible, it exists now. It's just kind of repackaged. True faith is proved by good works. You're not saved by good works. You know, you already said that, right? We're saved. We talked about the new covenant last week, last Sunday in the joint service. We are saved or justified by not our own righteousness, our own good works. Remember? We are saved solely by whose righteousness? Jesus is righteousness. And when you claim that you have Jesus' righteousness and you claim that you're justified, that gets proved that this is true by your works. Your works doesn't save you, but he proves that you have genuine saving faith. Does that make sense? So a true Christian must prove. Let me put it in this way. I'm not a farmer, okay, but I know a little bit. What kind of fruit does an apple tree produce? Anyone know? Well, apple tree doesn't produce oranges. Did you know that? Apple tree bears apples. Right? Why is that? Why does apple tree bear apples, not oranges? Well, because the nature of the tree is apple tree. So, apple tree, even though you might not see the fruit right away, in season, it will bear apples. It's a surety. It will fruit apples. At least the world that I live in this world, that's what, you know, it happens. An orange tree, same way, will produce orange fruit, not apples or pineapples or any other fruit. Orange tree will produce oranges. A Christian tree, then. A Christian tree. If you are genuine, born again. I'm not talking about counterfeits. I'm talking about genuine born again, the Bible says, who have true saving faith. The Bible says, like Abraham and Rahab, will produce works, good works. It has to, because you are a Christian. Not just by name. Your nature, that's your nature now. You're not just a Christian is not just a Christ follower. A Christian will bear works of righteousness in your lives. Some might be very slow, like me. Good night. I've been a Christian for, I just turned 47. And so over half of my life, at least I claim to be a Christian, 19, now 47, over half of my life. And there has to be good works. There has to be. Your life too. Some very slow, some accelerate in those works.
We all have different stages of our lives in our relationship with God through Christ.
But if you are a Christian, if you are a Christian tree, you will produce good works. That proves that you are a true child of God or has true faith. All right. I know that bears a lot of more thought and what are those works, and we'll talk a little bit about that on Sunday school and we think it together. Number three, true faith walks in the light, not in darkness. 1 John chapter 1, 5 through 7. 1 John chapter 1, 5 through 7. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaimed to you. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. When you have true faith, you walk in the light that God has given you through His Word. Now you see. Now God shows you through His Word, this is sin, don't walk in that. This is righteousness. Walk and live in the light. And when you step off the light, genuine Christians can sin. They could, right? He says in the hymn, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Not permanently. A practice of walking in darkness is not true faith. You and I, genuine Christian, will fall, will sin. I sin all the time. And I don't jump up and down, oh great. I love darkness. No, I don't like darkness. It's shameful to be exposed to darkness and sin. Now, you guys might not know my sin. My wife doesn't know. She really knows me. And in my best day, I don't celebrate that. I'm shameful. Tasia, I'm sorry. And she'll do the same to me. A true Christian, though they sin, they repent and go back into the light. You don't stay in darkness. Now, I don't know you. Only God knows you if you're walking in darkness, continually practicing, living in sin, practicing sin, and not practicing living in righteousness. I want to live in righteousness, not sin. Before, I used to love sin and want to walk in darkness and in sin. I didn't even know that was sin, actually. Now I know. Now faith has come now. I see the difference between sin and righteousness. And I want to walk in righteousness in the light. And God's Word shows me what the light is. Most of it, 99.9%, is pretty clear what sin is and what righteousness is. It's only you and I, we muddy it. Or a culture muddies it. So we, true faith, walks in the light, loves the light, not darkness. All right. Number four, true faith, last one, true faith follows the leading of the Spirit. And not this verse is not just for the the charismatic Christian who loves the Spirit, right?
No, this is the Spirit is part of the Christian life. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. If we live, talking about Christians here in the church, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Other places it says, follow the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Now, I've said this countless times. Where is the Spirit leading us? Because this Spirit is not any Spirit. Is the very Spirit of Christ that was sent from heaven. Remember? Jesus went up to heaven, right? He's at the right hand of God. I can't send the Helper unless I go up there. You need Him. And the Spirit in Acts was given to the church. So the Spirit could be a lead, could led by the Spirit. Now, it's not what you say that Spirit did that, you know, is true, is the work of the Spirit. I'm giving an example, okay? I think, to me, very silly example. There was a person that wanted to really, genuinely, wanted to evangelize to his co-workers. And he was telling the story, okay? And he wanted to evangelize one of his coworkers, and they were talking, and it wasn't immediately. Oh, okay, wait. Do you believe in Jesus? Hell is hot. You know, you want to go to heaven? It wasn't that immediate conversation. He was just having to do small talk, you know, with him. But his heart wanted to reach out to his coworker, this one coworker. And as he was talking to this coworker, he said the Spirit gave him a picture of bananas. And this is true. This is a true story. I'm not even making it up. Okay? He said the Spirit gave him a picture of bananas as he was talking to this person. Now, this person is not crazy, okay? As far as I know. And he said, oh, you know, this might kind of sound strange. This is, he says, bananas? And then that guy goes, oh, how did you know? I love bananas. And he said, the Spirit told me to say to this person bananas. And he said, that's the work of the Spirit. That is not the Spirit. The Spirit has lead not to say bananas. The Spirit's not leading you to 7-Eleven, my joke, not to 7-Eleven. I know 7-Eleven is not popular these days. My day, 7-Eleven is like everywhere. Now it's like other places. But anyway. Spirit is not leading you instead with the Spirit to lead you to 7-Eleven. The Spirit is leading you to heaven. That's why the Spirit was sent. Look at John 16:7-8. It's not on the transparency, but look at what the Gospel of John says. Just pay attention. John 16:7-8. If you have a Bible, just turn there. John 16:7-8. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. This is Jesus talking. He wants to go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, the Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you, talking about the Spirit, and when He comes, He will convict the world concerning, not bananas, not whatever people who say who believe the Spirit does. He says, when He comes, He will convict the world concerning sin. That's the problem. That's your and my main problem. When I wake up in the morning, that's my main problem with my God. And the Spirit shows me all kinds of things that needs to change. When He comes, He will convict the world concerning sin
and righteousness.
The Spirit of God will convict you of the sin, the bad thing you shouldn't be doing, and also show you righteousness. Walk in the light. In His truth.
And judgment.
So you see why Spirit is so important. If the Spirit is leading you to heaven, in heaven where God lives, there is no sin. It is complete righteousness there. And the Spirit's job to the church is to clean you up, get you ready for your new place where there is no sin, no possibility to fall once again like Genesis. It's going to be a perfect world and stay that way. That's why the Spirit was given. The Spirit is leading you to kill your sins. All kinds. That's why He was given. He's trying to help you, helper, to help you. Not just to get you saved from hell and wrath of God. As a Christian, there is a remaining sin, rebellion in your heart, in your lives, and my lives. You don't need to know them. God already knows your sins. And the Spirit is trying to convict you
of those sins. And you say, help me. Help me. I mean, that's basically my prayer when I pray to the Lord. He convicts me of the sin. And I'm shameful. I don't go to my wife. I go to God. He already showed me that sin. How rotten it is. And I say, God, help me! Help me. I hate my sin. I beat my breast. This is my problem. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Spirit. Lead me in righteousness. I want to be in step with You. Who's preparing me, getting me ready to assume my home in heaven with God. Amen? Amen? So this Spirit is not just for the charismatics. I don't know if you know the word charismatic, but you know. Anyway, we could talk. If you don't know what the word charismatic is, then you know you could come talk to me afterwards. So once again, true faith comes from what? God's Word. God's Word. That's why if you have non-Christian friends, okay? Invite them, not to just a social gathering. Don't, yes, you know, get to know them, but invite them where the truth is opened. That's the best thing you could do for them. I know they think it's boring. Of course, that church was the boringest thing in the world. This is the last thing I wanted to hear. I wanted to go play basketball. That's more exciting. See how dark that is? But that's the best thing you could do. We invite them to church. I mean, if you think this is a good, faithful church preaching God's Word, or take them to church that you want to invite them to, that they preach the Word. Invite them to your small groups, Bible studies. They need to hear the truth. Truth. Faith comes by truth. Not social gatherings. I mean, I guess in social gatherings, you could talk about the truth, right? I mean, can we play basketball and talk about the truth? Yes, we can. We should do a better job in doing that. Not just talk about basketball or football or baseball, whatever you are into, or video games, you know? I don't know how you pivot from video games into talking about truth, but I guess you can. Number two, true faith is proved by works. What about you? Do you have works of righteousness in your record? As a result of you having true faith. That's what on the ground. Don't let me be saying that you're saved by your good works. I'm not saying that. You're saved and justified by faith alone. But when you have this true faith that justifies you, that true faith produces works. It has to. Now you are a new creature. Now you are a genuine, not fake, not just a churchgoer. You are a genuine child of God. That must. And that right there proves that you have genuine faith. Number three, true faith walks in the light. And if you have faith, you know what that light is. The difference between light and darkness. As you look into God's Word. As you learn from your older brothers and sisters. Leaders in the church. As they guide you. Number four, true faith follows the leading of the Spirit to kill your sin. Make you righteous, not just on the outside, in the inside, and get you ready for your new home. Let's pray. Let's pray. As I invite the praise team here, let's pray. Father in heaven, O Lord, I pray that the gift of faith that you give I pray that you will lavish on us in this church. Lord, you know the hearts of the, not just people in this room now, but our church, our brothers and sisters in the Chinese congregation, and our brothers and sisters in the West, on the Henrietta East Campus, West Campus. Lord, I especially pray for souls in this room. If they have experienced this spiritual sight and knowledge to be alive to Christ, oh Lord, have mercy on them. Grant them this faith that you have described in your word. It's so precious. It's a treasure, a prized treasure, more than gold or silver. Nothing compares to this treasure of faith that shows us your Son, reveals Christ to their minds, and that their hope and their life is found only in Him. Oh Lord, have mercy. And those who have tasted and see that you are good, oh Lord, increase their faith by your word. May we be immersed, a father's immersed, not just in their job, in their whatever extracurricular activities they're into. Oh Lord, may they be immersed in your word, increasing, strengthening their faith, so that when life comes, when waves come in this life, they will stand strong in your truth, in their faith, in your truth. Oh Lord, have mercy on us, I pray. Shower down this true saving faith among your people. More knowledge, more understanding, more wisdom. Pray all this not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit and in through Christ.